This is Santi Lumarella, and you're listening to yet another wrestling podcast, the name in which I cannot quite remember this moment, but it's another wrestling podcast.
It's time for another wrestling podcast.
The measuring stick just changed around here, buddy. You're looking at
the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
They got the answers. I changed the question.
The cream of the crop. Nobody does it better.
These are the best in the world, brother. These are the best at what they do.
When we talk about the legends of the sport, there's only two in my book.
Another wrestling podcast.
Another wrestling podcast. Now can you dig that, sucker?
All right. Welcome to another wrestling podcast. This is episode 108. I'm Steve Credo.
And I'm Jonathan Benjamin.
And today, we're going to be talking a lot about Extreme Rules, Jonathan. We're going to be talking about the pay-per-view coming up this weekend. But also, we have a special guest joining us this week, Jonathan. Who's joining us this week?
It's that son of a gun, Santino Marella. He is fresh off of his release from the WWE, and this guy, I've been wanting to talk to him forever. So glad that he's on the show today, and I have a good feeling that this could be the best show yet.
Well, Jonathan, I'll hold you to that, but before we get into it today, a few more things to talk about. Jonathan, recently Vince McMahon stated that, within like a 30-day stretch or so, we could be seeing the return of Seth Rollins, Bray Wyatt, John Cena, and Randy Orton. What do you think about that? Do you think in this new era, the return of some of these guys, even though some of them haven't been out too long, but then again, some of them have been out for pretty much almost a year now, what are your thoughts? Is WWE ready to bring these guys back in?
It's one of those things. I'm very excited about having these people back because I always like whenever we have a full roster. So to have Rollins, which I hope immediately gets thrust into the title picture, Bray as well, and Cena and Orton. I miss Orton. Cena's always good, whether it's going against somebody. And, Rollins and Bray are definitely going to add something to the roster already, but Bray is somebody that I hope whenever he gets back, they decide to finally do something with this guy. I don't fear for Rollins. I don't fear for Cena. I don't fear for Orton, but Bray needs to start pumping up some wins, or they might as well just get rid of him because he's been the guy that they've been feeding people to. He wrestled Undertaker. He wrestled Brock, all this stuff. Like, why is Bray Wyatt not had his shot at the championship?
Bray Wyatt's had a rough couple of months. He's been promoted to be on a lot of shows. He had a back injury. They didn't use him a lot. We saw him down in Westchester, had a match. He looked fine. He was promoted to be on Payback. They're pretty much the poster boys of Payback, but they never used any of the Wyatts. So he's been off and on. But yeah, I think it's time. If he's 100% healed, they definitely need to give him something good to stand on, because you can't be the eater of worlds. You can't be the new face of fear when you're losing every week. So hopefully they give him something good. Orton's coming back. We'll see what he does. He's had a bad shoulder for a while now, and it'll be interesting to see what they do with him. I think I'm more excited just to see Seth Rollins return and see what they do with him. I kind of want to see a face Rollins coming in. I want to see the good guy Rollins, see what he could do. But I don't know how they'll change that from, his heel persona that he was doing for a while. So it'll be interesting to see. Breaking news, another wrestling podcast is proud to partner with High Spots, the High Spots Wrestling Network. More specifically, they're going to offer listeners one free month of the High Spots Wrestling Network. You have to use the code AWP. Make sure that's all caps, AWP. New accounts will gain access to over 2,040 hours and counting of premium wrestling content.
That's right, and the High Spots Network features top worldwide promotions such as PWG, Progress, Rev Pro UK, WXW, WSU. It also highlights many of the U.S. regional promotions such as PWX down in North Carolina, FIP in Florida, NEW in Connecticut and New York, Queens of Combat in North Carolina, IWA Mid-South in Indiana, and AAW in Chicago.
Now, guys, subscribers will find hours of shoot interviews featuring all the episodes of The Kevin Steen Show, The Old School with Steve Corino. They also highlight the original content that High Spots produces, such as documentaries with Harley Race, Jim Crockett Promotions, Rock and Roll Express, etc., and fan favorites like $5 Wrestling.
Well, something for everybody can be found at HighSpotsWrestlingNetwork.com. For the low price of $9.99 per month, fans can stream hours of content to their mobile device, tablet, PC, or stream on their TV through Roku. Check out the High Spots Wrestling Network today, and don't forget to use the promo code AWP in all caps.
You know, Jonathan, you know, we're going to be talking Extreme Rules coming up, but first of all, we have the Milan Miracle in our studio right now, so we have to get right to this. We got to bring in Santino Marella right now on another wrestling podcast. Joining us today on the podcast is one of the best personalities in the history of professional wrestling. He has done it all during his time in the WWE, and it's an honor to have him join us today. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Anthony Carelli, also known as Santino Marella. How's it going? How's everything going?
Oh, fantastic. Thank you. Everything's awesome. Actually, I just stepped out. I'm in my office right now. I'm at Battle Arts Academy, and as you know, we got kickboxing happening, boxing happening, submission wrestling. Actually, some of the wrestlers from Ring of Honor in New Japan, their bus just pulled up and they're training here on route to Toronto for their show. So it's kind of a surreal moment to see all cylinders firing in here, and it's pretty cool.
Awesome.
Well, we got some sad news for us the other day, and I just want to know kind of what the process was for you. We heard that, you know, your contract with WWE had been dissolved. Were you kind of shocked by that, and how supportive have all of your fans been throughout this process?
Yeah, I guess I was shocked because there was always talk of when I come back I was going to take a non-physical role, like maybe there was a little chatter about being a GM, and I, you know, even suggested perhaps a manager if anybody needs one. But yeah, I guess they changed their mind. But it's interesting. It's a strange phenomenon. It's like, you know, a little bit of, wow, it's over. And then like, wow, that was awesome. You know, what's going to be next? A little, you know, worried. And then this sense of like kind of freedom and just this weight, like, you know, because you commit. And you're a part of the team, and you're, you know, I don't want to say they own you, but, you know, they kind of own you. You know, there's certain opportunities you'll have to let go because you're with them and stuff. So now I don't have those obstacles anymore. So it's, I feel like a free agent, put it that way.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Now, you know, nothing's keeping you down. You're quite busy with your Battle Arts Academy. What can you tell us a little bit about your academy? Why did you get it started? How did you get it started? And any little information for our fans out there?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm 42 years old. I debuted late. I was 33 when I debuted, and I was pretty green. I'm pretty proud of that part. You know, the fact that I was able to make a 10-year run so late, starting so late. But yeah, I knew my neck was, you know, the clock was ticking, and I wanted to create something that would provide a buffer between my WWE career and my next career. So now that Battle Arts is up and running, you know, there's not really any pressure or stress on how we're going to, you know, support ourselves, because I have a business and it's successful. So that's a great stress relief, you know, take it away. And now I can focus clearly on the next project without having that stress. So that was really my objective. So what I wanted to do was build my dream facility, something that, you know, encompassed everything that I love, you know, fitness and judo and Olympic wrestling, pro wrestling. And, you know, we do MMA and we do everything here. It's actually pretty surreal.
Now, obviously, you mentioned that you train aspiring wrestlers also at the Battle Arts Academy. Now, you were brought in differently than probably a lot of the people that are coming into the business today. Do you train people whenever you're, you know, training professional wrestlers? Do you train them the way that you were trained, or is it kind of a combination of everything that you've learned along the way?
It's a total combination. You know, I have obviously a lot of Rip Rogers in my teaching because he was my main coach. I hear myself repeating things that Al Snow said to us when I was at OVW. Of course, Don Koloff, my first coach, you know, I take his perspective very heavily. So, and then of course, training in Japan with Yuki Ishikawa and the battle arts style, it's really a combination of everything actually. Yeah. My world travels, and then having the luxury and opportunity to sit beside Ari Anderson and, you know, Dean Malenko and Ricky Steamboat and hearing them talk about matches and William Regal and just so many guys backstage. The list is extensive of guys you could learn from. So I was, I had a really nurturing environment with regards to my professional wrestling education. And, yeah, now I get to share that with these hopefuls like I was. Mm-hmm.
Now, do you prefer training wrestlers or actually wrestling? Is there, you know, a difference that you like better?
It's very, well, I loved wrestling. I trained my wrestlers the way I love wrestling. We do like a, you know, for example, let's say some of our guys go to another show and it's a hokey indie bullshit show, whatever. But the people in the audience, when they watch these guys, like their match, they're going to look at each other and go, was that, these guys really don't like each other. I think that one was real. And if you can really get them to even question it, then they're doing their job. So thank God there's not a textbook, but there's so many just rules of psychology and understanding and how everything has to escalate and have this climax and apex and, you know, fighting from underneath and good versus evil. And it's just so much. And people come here with this, you know, preconceived notion that because they're seeing the finished product and they want to do the finished product, but they don't know why they're doing the finished product. And it doesn't make sense when they try and redo it because they don't have that infrastructure of psychology rules behind them. So, I give it to them straight. You know, if you're a fat guy, lose weight. If you're a skinny guy, gain weight. If you have a bad attitude, change it. I'm not going to do anybody the disservice of lying to them. But I'll also be very encouraging, you know, and say, you know, if someone's struggling with losing weight, just say, I said, look, man, you know, like, this guy's here, they'll write you a diet plan. You don't have to figure it out. The formulas have already been created. Just kind of follow one, pick one. And so everything's possible. I believe that everyone can manipulate their body and become bigger, faster, stronger. And if you train hard enough and you're in here, if you're training 10 times a week in a variety of things, let's say 4 is pro wrestling, 3 is jiu-jitsu, and 3 are cardio, whatever, I hope that equals 10. But you should be training that much like a professional athlete if you want to make it. If you want to be the guy that says, hey, I'm doing the pro wrestling club twice a week and we play pro wrestling, that's absolutely fine. That's you can like wrestling in that way. But if you look me in the eye and you say you want to make it to the highest level possible, now we have an unspoken, well, no, we actually say it, a verbal commitment, you know, that I'm going to push you and I'm going to train you like a professional athlete. And I'm going to be hard on you because this industry will be hard on you and they just won't let you in if you don't give it whatever it takes.
Well, you started training in Canada in 2002, then traveled all over the world, Japan, everywhere, honing your skills, and eventually you were signed to a developmental deal in WWE. Now, what was the evolution like for you from when you started to maybe like your persona in OVW as Boris Alexa?
Oh, gosh, yeah. So my coach was Don Koloff, and then Rip Rogers gave me the nickname of Boris. So everyone was just calling me Boris, and I said, wait a second, I'm a Boris Koloff, and that'll explain why I'm doing all these different judo moves and suplexes and everything, because I was really, you know, grappling oriented. And so I was Boris Koloff, and that's what I was for, geez, about a year, until Paul Heyman said, I want you to debut on OVW TV. And I wasn't under contract, so normally OVW TV was only for contracted guys. So he saw something, he changed my name from Boris Koloff to Boris Alexiev. And yeah, we debuted, and, you know, the office took note. And then I got hired to my developmental. So then I went to Canada, got my work visa, took a couple months, and I came back down. So this is like maybe December of 06, or some like late November 06. I come back down. Now I got my work visa, and I'm training as developmental talent in OVW. And then, yeah, in April, we got the phone call. And they said, can you speak Italian? And I was like, yeah, sure, yeah, absolutely. So I couldn't at the time very well. And I just repeated some Italian that I heard on an audio tape that I listened to on the way to work. And I guess my accent was authentic enough that they said, that sounds good to me. And that was it, man. Flew out the next day, debuted the next day. And, you know, 10 years later, here we are today.
Sure. Well, fast forward a little bit after spending time in OVW, you made your now infamous debut in Milan, Italy, defeating Umaga to become the Intercontinental Champion. As a lifelong wrestling fan, what were your thoughts knowing that you were now a part of wrestling history?
Yeah, that's a good question, actually. No one's ever asked me that. I like that. Because, yeah, at the time, one of my friends said, like, I guess there was only 27 Intercontinental Championships or champions at the time or something like that. And that number, if that's accurate or not, I don't know. But just a number, I think, yeah, I'm a part of history now. I'm a person that has held this title. And it's funny, that was always the title in 1998 when I said, I'm going to be a wrestler. And I said, one day I'm going to be Intercontinental Champion. And a bunch of my friends there was with me because they're like, he called it. And that was the one I got. And it's funny because I was training for the Olympics all throughout, you know, high school and university for judo. And my daughter came early into my life, and you had to kind of let go of judo and, you know, start feeding the family. Mm-hmm. So anyway, it was very difficult for me. But I always said one day when I win the Intercontinental Championship, and then I allow myself to finally let go of the Olympics and the fact that we had to derail the program. So I remember when I won the title, I'm looking down, I'm like, you promised, man, you got to let it go. And kind of did a little bit.
Well, this wasn't the only time that you actually got to taste championship gold while you were in WWE. You also won the tag team championships with Kozlov and scored the United States championship after you defeated Jack Swagger. Out of all of those championships, which one meant the most to you? Was it the one that we just talked about, or was there something later on?
No, well, the Intercontinental Championship was my favorite, but when I won it the first time, I was like draped on top of Umaga, like a lifeless body. And the second time, Beth Phoenix pinned Mickie James, so it was like both titles were on the line. And I think I was like unconscious again for winning that one. So it's cool that I had the title, but, you know, winning it unconscious both times kind of diminished it a little bit. The tag titles were awesome. I loved being in a tag team with Kozlov. I would have did that for the rest of my career if I could. And then, of course, the U.S. championship was an individual title, so that's always sweet, and I actually was awake when I won it. So I think the U.S. would have to be like, that was like my apex at that moment, you know? That was close to around the times of the Rumble and the Elimination Chamber. It was all around that kind of time. So that was, you know, you never know when's going to be your highest peak until you look back. You know, I always thought there'd be one more little, especially before my neck hurt, I always thought, well, I'm the miracle, right? So that means I got a miracle in my back pocket at any time. I could win the big one any night. Ron Simmons told me that. He goes, buddy, you can do the comedy gimmick for 10 years. You win one match at the right time, you're a world heavyweight champion. And I was like, damn, that's true.
Now what?
But I thought that would happen.
Sure. Now, during your second run as IC champion, you debuted probably one of the greatest things of all time, the Honkometer. Whose idea was this?
That was Brian Gewirtz, writer. It was his. And you know what? It's so funny. People to this day, they always talk about the Honkometer. It's so funny. At signings at Mania, they're like, bro, the Honkometer was the best. The Honkometer. One of those silly things that just resonated with the fans. So it was definitely fun to do. And do it like 100% serious. That's what made it funny, you know?
Now, during your time in WWE, did you feel that, you seem like a very creative person. Do you feel like that you were ever like stifled creatively there, or did they like your input as well?
Oh, no. For my segments, they let me, there's a sliding scale. In the beginning, they write for you. And by the end, they'll give you 2 points and you can just create your whole own thing, you know. But you have to earn that kind of trust and respect. And, you know, if you go off script, and Paul Heyman told me this a long time ago, is if you're going to change it when you're out there, what you change it to better be better than what they had. And, if it gets a huge reaction, trust me, no one's going to mention it. But if you go off on your own and it sucks, they'll be like, what the F was that?
Sure. Now, as an entertainer, you have to be versatile. While you were in WWE, you were the definition of that. Is that the key to being a success in the WWE?
To be versatile?
Yeah.
You have to have the mentality. If you're given lemons, you make lemonade. So, yeah, I wanted to wrestle like Chris Benoit and Dynamite Kid. And that's the way I trained and was prepared to. But, whatever, Santino came and you just, it's such a privilege to be able to do this for a living that just take what you're given and just knock it out of the park constantly. And so what, because there are some guys, and it blows my mind how they really care about, if it comes down to money, mm-hmm. That's a different story, but winning and losing, you're there to entertain, man. And some guys get caught up in this whole, perceived stock value of, being a top guy or whatever. But if you can entertain and you have a job, just be happy. And I was taught that, like, early in my career, because I was already, 37, 38, and I started appreciating every single day from that point. So I've been appreciative for a long time. And when you're grateful, people see that. You show up backstage and everyone wants to be around you and everyone wants to do stuff with you. You're loving you're there because you're walking around, you're happy and you're grateful. A lot of miserable guys, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Not the majority, but there's always some miserable guys. And I just never got that.
Yeah.
Well, during your later run, it was a special time. You found an unlikely ally in the Cobra. Can you kind of tell us how that happened? Was that planned by someone else too, or was that something you had a hand in?
No, that was when I was in Japan in 2004 at Battle Arts, the original Battle Arts. just a friend of the dojo at a local bar just showed me this thing where he transformed his arm into a snake. And, we laughed, whatever. And that was it. And then it's like he planted a seed in my head. And then 5 years later, I was about to go out there with, was it Carlito or Chavo? And I look at Cena and I go, buddy, watch during my comeback. What's I going to do? So I go out there and, wah, 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 Cobra, ping, and roll up or something. And the audience laughed immediately, like just with my bare arm doing it for the first time, not knowing what it is. And we came back and they're just like, buddy, that is gold. Keep that. And we kept it. Nice. But we only did it on the live events. And then so I was out doing Raw one time. And I think Ricky Steamboat was my producer. And He's like, you know, I forget who I was wrestling, to be honest. He goes, but since he was going over, he goes, Vince wants to see the Cobra. He's heard about this Cobra. So the word must have got back from the live events that the Cobra was over with at least the boys, if not the audience. And, yeah, once he saw it, he loved it. And that's it. It's like that thing was welded to my arm.
Well, personally, I know exactly what one of my favorite Cobra moments is. What's your personal favorite Cobra moment?
Wow. Cobra moments. Obviously, Mick Foley and myself, the Royal Rumble.
Yep.
That's a good one. The blindfold match I had with Drew McIntyre, that was actually, you do so much stuff, you kind of forget about stuff. And a few months ago, I saw that, and I hadn't seen that match in a long time. I was dying. That was hilarious. the thing with Kali and Jinder, that was shameful, but delightful at the same time.
Now, speaking of moments, I know you no doubt get asked this probably on a daily basis, what your favorite moment of your wrestling career is. But what we want to know is, with all the great things that you got to do in the WWE, from Make-A-Wish to Tribute to the Troops, what moment had the biggest impact on you personally?
Oh, man. I think I was at Philadelphia Sick Kids Hospital, and the kids there, I had to, like, turn away a few times, and I get choked up pretty easy when it comes to stuff like that. Because the kids, you know, God, man, they're suffering, man. Some of them have tubes coming out of them, and they look like they're really having a bad time. And then you walk in the room, and they're just so happy. And then I look at the parents, and the parents were holding their hearts, like, look, he's smiling. Because the kids, on a daily basis, probably has a long face because, you know, his tubes coming out of him, he's scared.
Yeah.
And the fact that we provided that moment of happiness for the parents to see their kids, that one hit me like a ton of bricks. That was I'll never forget that.
Well, you know, the last couple of years, on a more serious note here, they haven't been too kind to professional wrestlers. There's been a lot of injuries, and you were no exception to this rule, and you've had several neck injuries. Do you think that professional wrestling? There's been a lot of talk about it. You know, some people think it should have an off season. Do you think that that's something that has some validity, or do you think that it's always going to kind of be this way?
It would be awesome to have an off season. You know what? I think it would be so much more popular. Like, let's say you had the same amount of viewership, like views, but you condensed it into. Okay, I'm going to get better than that. Listen, there's 100 million people that watch it throughout the year. But if you condense it to 8 months, you still have 100 million people. So pound for pound, you're getting more of an audience kind of thing. And, yeah, for the athletes, it'd obviously be very good too. But we're pretty meticulous about warming up and taping up and stretching and starting slow. It's, you'd be surprised, man. I mean, yeah, we're banged up, but it's, no one's wrestling really injured, you know?
Mm-hmm. Now, we know you're a busy guy. We've got just a few more questions for you. Is the schedule and the wrestling, is that too much, or do you think that the audience has become too demanding?
The schedule? What do you mean, sir?
Do you think it's the schedule of, you know, wrestling a certain amount of days a year, or is it just maybe, you know, just do you think it's that the audience has become too demanding?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if the market's there and the people are going to come to the show, you know, this is a business and you want to make money. If you can confidently put some asses in some seats, then run. But I think, like, when I first started, there wasn't both TVs, right? So I worked Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. And I was home Tuesday, half of Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, back on the road Friday. That schedule, I could do forever, indefinitely. That was nothing. That was awesome. That second TV going to SmackDown on Tuesday, now you're home for a day and a half. And now your home life is suffering, which is adding stress and could be a distraction when you're on the road. Maybe you want to go train. Maybe the guys are in there training, but you're fighting with your girlfriend in the parking lot because she's freaking out because you haven't been home. But whatever it is, you know, something wrong with the kids. And 4 days a week, if I could you know, write a report on my experience in Senate Talent Relations, I would definitely suggest 4 days a week. Mm-hmm. I think they should separate the brands again and do that.
Now, how is your neck feeling today? And what, like, being at Battle Arts Academy, what is your, like, current health and training regimen like? What are you doing to keep yourself in shape today?
Well, I'm not really in shape right now. I do the kids' judo classes and some of the kids' wrestling classes, and I'll get out there and I'll do the warm up with them and stuff. Sometimes I'll, I just did some dips and chin ups and all that kind of stuff right now. I don't say too crazy. I was for a while. I got into running for a bit, but as well as my neck, I have my lower back has like arthritis too, so that kind of flares up on me sometimes. I can't do really heavy lifting. My neck is comfortable. I'm very comfortable for day-to-day life. I can't take a flat back. That's the only thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I could do some judo break falls, like rolling forward break falls, and there's been a couple times where I took a bump and I'm like, that wasn't so bad, but then I get a reminder, you know, that, oh, that was bad.
Sure. Now, prior to leaving WWE, you starred in Jingle All the Way 2. Would you be interested in doing more acting?
Yeah, I mean, you know, as far as professional wrestlers go, I'm probably more towards the actor side anyway, just based on I was a character player, and my, you know, I could transition to Hollywood, I think, pretty easy. It just, and there's a lot of guys that when we go to SummerSlam, they'd come up to me and laser like, directors, producers, and they're wrestling fans, and they're like, dude, when you want to transition over, let me know, here's my card. And I was like, thank you, but I'm gonna stay here as long as I can, and now I gotta go find their cards.
Well, with that being said, like, you know, obviously within the WWE now there's the network, and I'm sure, I mean, we saw you on the network several times, but if you came back to the WWE, would you like to be a part of, like, your own network show if it was offered to you?
Yeah, I pitched a show. I pitched a show where I meet. I just pitched it, like, you know, like the day after I got released, because they were very clear about, you know, we're not cutting our ties. It's just your wrestling contract is done. But there's opportunities in the network, and there's opportunities for other things. So I said, yeah, how about one of these guys? It's called Nice to Meet You. It's starring Santino Marella, and it takes place in a little espresso bar. And I don't have to be in character or not. But just meet the new guys coming to NXT and just say, hey, where are you from? How did you get here? What sports did you play? You know, what's your background? Whatever, just shoot the shit and let people get a little familiar. It goes a long way. The people that saw that episode, when they see them wrestling in the future, they're like, oh, yeah, I remember I watched that guy. He's from Oklahoma and he wrestled or whatever, you know. They know having a little background information really, really helps with getting close to the characters.
All right. Now, we talked a bunch tonight. Well, we have one little thing left to talk with you. It's our lightning round to where, you know, whatever comes to your mind, whether it be a sentence or just a word, as short as possible of an answer that you can give, we're just going to shoot out some stuff and then whatever's on top of your mind, almost like a word association thing, okay?
Yeah.
All righty. All right. You're a comic book lover. Who is your favorite superhero?
Wolverine.
All right. You spent a lot of time with this person. What are your thoughts on Beth Phoenix?
Oh, Beth Phoenix is just a superwoman. Edge is a lucky dude. She's smart and she's obviously strong, beautiful, independent, and good moral values. She's awesome. My actual wife is kind of like Beth. It's funny. They're both like these strong Polish ladies.
All right. You're a very inked superstar. Which tattoo is your favorite?
Oh, man. I don't think I have a favorite. I have one in my thigh that you can't know. You've probably only seen the tail sticking out of my tights. That one's cool. I got that one in Japan. They're all over. They're from all over. Toronto, Montreal, L.A., Tokyo,
awesome.
Tampa.
Another female that you were linked with for a while. What are your thoughts on Maria Kanellis?
Maria is beautiful. She's awesome. She's gonna light up a room. We were together, you know, a long time ago now. But if we ever run into each other, it's always just great to see each other because we had fun.
All right. How is Santina, and will you give her number to for Jonathan? I know he's looking for a number here.
Well, Santina's a lesbian, and her and her girlfriend are back home, and they adopted a baby.
Well, it's good to get an update on her. Everybody's been asking, so well, I'm ashamed, but I'm also a little relieved. But next person, Kozlov.
Oh, buddy, he's one of my best friends. I'm actually, my wife and I are going to Florida in a couple of weeks, and we're definitely making a trip to Miami to see Kozlov. That's, yeah, I got to see my buddy, man, the Big Bear. Have you seen pictures of him on social media lately?
Yeah, he's a beast.
Ridiculous.
Jack, like 300 pounds shredded.
Wow.
Monster. He's doing movies and stuff, and I think he's rushing. He's a, like, how can he not be in James Bond?
Yep.
Yeah.
Now,
technically, he's already been there. Somehow.
Yep. What is something people would be surprised to know about you?
Surprised to know? A lot of people know I like to cook, but I'm quite proficient in the kitchen. Right. Here's a fact. A fun fact: I calculated I've been a black belt in judo for 27 years.
Wow.
Oh, wow. That's ridiculous.
So I like that line. But there's some kids in here, like they're 23 years old. Son, I've been a black belt longer than you've been alive.
I don't know how I got all these women here, but you've been linked to quite a few. Last lightning round question. Your thoughts on Tamina Snuka?
Oh, she's great. She's very important to have there in that locker room, as well as the programming, because it's not all, you know, Barbie dolls and models. It's some strong girls and serious girls, and she brings a level of authenticity to the product that's very important for that division. She's a great athlete, too.
All right. Well, Anthony Santino, we appreciate your time today. Where can people keep up with you on social media?
My Twitter is Milan Miracle, at Milan Miracle, whatever, and the Instagram is The Milan Miracle. My Facebook, like my actual personal Facebook, that's like maxed out, whatever. But the WWE one, which I don't run, that's, you can follow that, but it has nothing to do with me, to be honest.
And will you be appearing anywhere soon? Anybody you could let the fans know about?
I don't know, man. My phone blew up and I got all these things for signings and sure. stuff, but I don't know, man.
Well, any more information, at least on the Battle Arts Academy, too?
Pardon me?
Any more information, too, for all the fans out there listening about your academy?
Yeah, if you live in the GTA, the Greater Toronto Area, come train with us. Come try it out for a week. If you're a young kid and you want to get into something cool and get on the right path in life, come do a combative sport. We do three Olympic sports: wrestling, boxing, and judo. And we have teams and kids that go out and compete. And it's also the foundation. If you're a kid out there, let's say you're a 16-year-old guy and you want to be a pro wrestler, come and do judo and come wrestle with us for a few years. You got to have that foundation. I'm pretty swamped here. I enjoy it. I come in here and I'm here for hours upon hours, but 12-hour days sometimes. But I got food in the kitchen cooking. We sit around and it's a cool environment here.
Well, Santino, Anthony, we'd like to thank you so much for your time tonight. It's been an honor.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you, guys.
Make sure you head on over to another wrestlingpodcast.com, the mothership of AWP. You can find links to subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Player FM, and TuneIn.
You can buy our official Another Wrestling Podcast shirts, prowrestlingtees.com/anotherwrestlingpodcast.
Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/anotherwrestlingpodcast.
Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/awrestlingpod.
Subscribe to us on YouTube, youtube.com/anotherwrestlingpod.
And be sure to follow us on Instagram at Another Wrestling Podcast. We want to thank Santino Marella, Anthony Corelli, once again for coming on the show, taking time out of his busy schedule. We hope to have him back many more times in the future, and hopefully he gets up here on the East Coast soon so we can all go and meet the Milan Miracle. But Steven, it is that time. This weekend, we have the very next WWE pay-per-view, Extreme Rules. It's emanating right in our backyard, New Jersey. So let's talk a little bit about Extreme Rules here, and let's see. Sometimes we differ, sometimes we don't, but let's get into these matches. A match that I hope isn't on the pre-show again, because I really feel like Kalisto has kind of earned his spot over the past couple weeks. It's Kalisto versus Rusev for the United States Championship. Now, I really hope that Rusev doesn't win this, because he had a shot at the United States Championship a while back, and I really think Kalisto is, you know, making his way up the roster. So I'm hoping that Kalisto wins this one. What are your thoughts on this United States Championship match?
You know, I was a little bit surprised last month that Ryback didn't win, but then also, again, I wasn't surprised because of the things he said, and now that he's gone. You know, Kalisto, whatever you want to say, you know, he has a lot of talent. The guy's talented. He definitely doesn't deserve to be a pre-show match anymore. He has the United States Championship. It's almost like they're hiding him in the back with this championship. It's not as showcased as it was when Cena was doing, you know, the weekly match for it on Raw, and, you know, it's kind of put on the back burner right now, but I think they definitely need to put this on the main card. Putting him up against the guy that's bigger than him, I think, is great. You know, it's they complement each other. You have Kalisto, who's small, fast, agile, whatever you want to say. Then you have Rusev, who's more of the brute guy. David versus Goliath, in a way. I think they'll definitely match each other good. But I think as much as I like Kalisto, and granted, he's had the U.S. Championship now for a few months, I think Rusev will once again become the United States champion. And I think, you know, almost going back to last year's WrestleMania when Rusev lost it to John Cena, I think we could see Rusev dominate the U.S. Championship once again, putting him and Lana back in the spotlight. And, you know, I don't think Kalisto will be buried from it. I think, you know, he proved himself to show you what he could do as a singles competitor, break away from the Lucha Dragons a little bit. So hopefully, you know, we see Kalisto in more singles matches. But, you know, I don't know. I don't think he's really done too much for it. And I think it's time to give it to Rusev again.
Well, I mean, tell us how you really feel about Rusev. I feel like that you are on the Rusev bandwagon, maybe. I'm on the Lana side of that bandwagon, I will be honest with all of you. But, yeah, I always like to see people, you know, titles change hands. We don't get to see that a lot. I think that we may get a title change here. I don't know exactly what we're going to get. But if any, it may be this next match. It is the WWE Tag Team Championship match. It is the New Day versus the Vaudevillains. Now, I have my own thoughts on this match, but I want to get yours first. Tell me who you think is going to win and why you think they're going to win.
You know, Jonathan, unfortunately, if Enzo didn't injure himself, I think we would have been getting the New Day versus Enzo and Cass in this match. I don't think the Vaudevillains would have been a part of it. So I think they're kind of just a filler for this. We haven't heard too much on Enzo as a return date, so I'm almost expecting a surprise appearance by Enzo to interfere in this match, costing the Vaudevillains the title. New Day wins, and you know, hopefully we'll get good news with Enzo returning. So that's what I'm predicting. I do not see the Vaudevillains beating a New Day. Like I said, I think they're more of a placeholder for Enzo and Cass, and we'll see what happens with that. But that's all I can picture out of this. You know, I don't see them doing anything, taking the title. I see a run-in. I see a run-in by Enzo. You know, just play the music, how you doing, distracts them, New Day gets the pin, and that's it.
Well, I have to say that I am thinking pretty much the opposite. I think that they may be setting up for, you know, we saw a New Day. They're still kind of feuding with the Dudleys. And I think that is the – I think that it was supposed to originally be the Vaudevillains winning and then Vaudevillains versus New Day. And I think that Enzo and Cass were supposed to go against the Dudley boys because that was kind of – you started to see that feud brewing. now I think that the Vaudevillains are going to be the New Day, and then we're going to see a returning Enzo and Cass try to dethrone them as the tag team champions once again, maybe at SummerSlam. So I see Vaudevillains winning, and I would like that just because I really enjoyed them in NXT, and now here they are on the main roster. And if they don't come out swinging, if they don't come out and win some gold or whatever, I fear for what may happen to the Vaudevillains. So my pick this Sunday, Extreme Rules, the Vaudevillains.
All right. Well, anything could happen. It is pro wrestling, Jonathan. And now one match to where I wish this would have happened last month at Payback, which I didn't get the ending for this. No one really liked the ending for what happened with this. WWE Women's Champion Charlotte versus Natalya in a submission match where Ric Flair is banned from ringside. You know, Jonathan, Ric Flair's been a main factor in Charlotte's women's championship run lately. But I think, you know, without him being there, I think Natalya has a chance. And Jonathan, I think, you know, this is almost beating a horse dead. What's that old saying?
Beating a dead horse.
Beating a dead horse, you know, same thing. But, you know, like I said, I think the last time we did the pay-per-view to where these two have already had a match in NXT with Flair and Hart ringside. Then they had the match on Roadblock before WrestleMania, Charlotte won. And then they had this match at Payback with Ric Flair and Bret Hart again. And it was a crappy finish. I think Natalya deserves another run, especially now that we have a women's championship. She is the vet of all these divas, I believe, or if you want to call them superstars now. I don't know if they call them divas anymore. But, you know, she's the vet of all these ladies. And I think, you know, she's done a lot. She's done a lot of publicity for them, you know, from Total Divas. Just she's an all-around ambassador for women right now, and I feel that she deserves the championship. I really want to see Natalya win it again, or win the women's championship for the first time. But, you know, she deserves it. And, you know, I think everybody was upset because we haven't seen Sasha Banks or Becky Lynch as of late to challenge for the title. And I think I'll say it again. I said it last time that if Natalya wins it, I think having having Sasha or Becky or whoever else you want to win, I think the better person to beat would be Natalya. Just for her name, making whoever beats her more credible of a champion. Granted, you know, Charlotte's come in and she got the championship right away. She never really worked for it in a way. So I think, you know, Natalya deserves it. I can't say it more and more again. I really hope she wins. And, you know, if she holds on to it for a little bit or a while, I think the next champion after that will definitely be boosted up just from beating Natalya. So I really hope they give her one last run with the championship.
Yeah, I'm not surprised in the least by your comments about a Hart member. I think that, once again, having Ric Flair banned from ringside will show that Charlotte can still get the job done. I don't think Charlotte's going to lose at Extreme Rules. I do, however, think her losing will come soon. Natalya is good, and she's there to, you know, keep these matches going. The one thing that I hope for during this match is kind of what you said. I don't want to see a screwy finish. I don't want to see a stupid ending to a match, but I also want to see it go for quite a while. It's a submission match. You know, back in the day, we got the Iron Man matches. I definitely think it's time for an Iron Woman match, and I would love to see this match go 30 minutes just to see, like, you know, the most submissions. And maybe that's where they will go with this, but I would like to see, you know, the most submissions in a X amount of time. So I'm hoping that this continues because if nothing else, it's good wrestling and it's good publicity for the women, especially after just crowning like Charlotte the new women's champion. So I'm excited for this match. I do think that Charlotte is going to walk away the champion, however.
Oh, I hope not. I just feel like with all these matches they've had against each other, there's no purpose for her to lose again. Like, they could have been having this match against Sasha or Becky or Paige or whatever, but just to have, like I said, you know, this is like, what, the fourth match they're having against each other, and it just, I don't know, it blows my mind that Natalya's losing again. It doesn't. I don't think it serves any purpose. But regardless, it'll be interesting. I just hope it's no screwy finish. I hope we get a real winner out of this, and the winner is Natalya. But anyway, Jonathan, I think one of the greatest matches, or possibly could be one of the matches of the night, is the Intercontinental Championship match, where the Intercontinental Champion and forever Intercontinental Champion, The Miz, Kevin Owens, Cesaro, and Sami Zayn, a fatal four-way match. Do you see anything happening that's going to be surprising out of this, Jonathan?
Well, the pay-per-view is titled Extreme Rules, and we are now in a weird era where we're somewhat PG, somewhat, not, especially if you've watched Cam WWE. So my hope for this whole pay-per-view is that we do get some sort of extreme moment, and I think it could happen either in this match or the main event match, but having The Miz, Kevin Owens, Cesaro, and Sami Zayn all wrestling, I think it's a great match. I think The Miz, now listen, anybody who's listened to this that knows me knows that I'm not a big fan of The Miz's work. However, with that being said, his work as of late has been really good, and during this match, I think that it's going to, only help because of the story that they have going on. But the real story is Owens and Zayn here, which makes me think that if anybody wins this, it's going to be Cesaro, because Owens and Zayn don't necessarily need the title for their feud. So I would love to see Sammy walk away with the championship just because I love Sammy, but I also love Cesaro, and I think that he is going to walk away your new Intercontinental Champion.
Man, I'm still upset for Zack Ryder. I felt like they gave him such a big moment at WrestleMania, and for only to lose it the next night to where he couldn't have even been in this match. Poor Zack Ryder. I still think they could have given him something else. But I think Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens is going to be the forever feud to where, they don't. Neither of these guys need the title. Something's going to happen where they screw one of another out of it, and this feud is just going to continue for months to, I think, maybe the final big showdown at maybe SummerSlam. I don't know. Too bad it wasn't WrestleMania, but, it's these guys are going to forever feud for the rest of their career, like they always said. I don't know. It would be a shocker for Sami Zayn to get it. I think Cesaro deserves it. I think, it's time to give him something else besides the U.S. Championship. I would love to see Cesaro get the IC Championship and work his way up the ladder to the WWE Championship. As far as The Miz, right place, wrong time, wrong place, right time, whatever, whatever you want to say with him. He's done good. It's sad that he's always like a go-to for the IC Championship. I don't know what else to really do with him. I think he'd probably almost be better on commentary. Granted, he still can work. I don't know. I think they need to give him some other kind of good feud. I don't think I really want to see him involved in these IC Championship matches again. There's a lot of new guys moving up, and I think, there's a lot of other guys that stand out more than The Miz. So hopefully, The Miz can exit gracefully from this IC Championship picture. And I'll be excited to see what Cesaro does with it. But yeah, if Kevin Owens wins, it'll be cool. Sami Zayn wins, cool. Cesaro, cool. Miz, no. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, I think, are going to go for months and months, maybe SummerSlam to even next year's WrestleMania for one big showdown. So it'll be interesting because I think over the next few months, you're going to see Kevin Owens screw Sami screw Owens, and it's just going to be nonstop back and forth, and these guys could work on this for a long time. And, like I said, it's going to be the never-ending feud. Like they said, they're destined to fight forever. So we'll see what happens. But, hey, hopefully Cesaro reigns supreme.
Well, let's talk about this. You brought up Cesaro winning the championship. The WWE World Heavyweight Championship is on the line with Roman Reigns versus AJ Styles in an Extreme Rules match. That pretty much guarantees we're going to see the Usos and the rest of the club show up during this match. I, for one, am like pretty much everybody else. I don't mind Roman Reigns right now. I'm telling everybody this. I've said it for the past couple months. I think Roman is ever improving, and he keeps getting better with every match that he has. He's no longer saying suffer and succotash. He may be a heel before you know it, but I am hoping AJ Styles gets this title just so my faith in humanity can be restored. I really believe he deserves it. I think that it's time for AJ Styles to be your WWE champion, which is something that I never thought I would ever get to say. But, you know, Roman can – they can fight back and forth. But maybe this is where we see a Seth Rollins, you know, come out because he's upset with Roman, you know, never – Rollins never really losing the title. And comes after Roman Reigns, and then that's how we get AJ Styles' Extreme Rules match. So did I just call what's going to happen? I don't know. We'll see. But I'm hoping for some involvement possibly since it is Extreme Rules. But I'm also thinking that AJ Styles is going to be your new WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah, and you know, it's unfortunate how so they've been using him a little bit to where I really, like we said it many times, where I wish he would have got that win at Mania. Jericho didn't need it, but then, you know, he turned into the number one contender, fought him last month, which was a great match. I think Roman Reigns finally found an opponent that complements him, and just they both look great against each other, and I think the rivalry between AJ and Reigns is going to be a great one for years to come. And I don't know. I don't want to see Reigns really hold on to the championship for a long time. Like, I don't, you know, I don't want to see him hold on to it for 434 days or anything like that. I think if you do give AJ Styles this, even if it's, I don't know, for a few months, just something, you know, something different. Because I think if it's, you're almost playing the field of, you know, the Bullet Club screws him out of the championship and then they get it and then they kind of like fight to keep the championship, and then Roman has to work his way back up to win it. I think that'll beating AJ Styles later on for it would be even great. But yeah, I don't know. I think just they need to shock the system a little bit. Stop making it so predictable. But you know, Payback, man. I think regardless, that was probably one of my favorite matches ever of Roman Reigns. Championship match for him, and just a regular match for him. They put on one hell of a match, even with the interference from the Usos and the club. You know, anything happened, anything could happen, did happen, and, you know, it was one hell of a match. And at the end, when Reigns won it, I didn't even care because it was such a great match. And I hope they pull off another great match. It is an Extreme Rules match, so that's gonna be interesting to see what happens. But, you know, at the end of the day, man, I want to agree with you. I would love to see AJ win it, but I don't know. I want to see it, but at the same time, I'm like, they're not going to give it to him right now. It's too soon. You know, Reigns is going to win it somehow, some way. It'll be interesting because this could – too bad we were almost not around Survivor Series, because then if Rollins did return, we could almost get a Shield versus Bullet Club – or, I'm sorry, Club match going, but I don't know. I really want to see something different. I would love to see AJ win it. I think it would shock everybody. But I'm afraid if he does win it, it's going to be a short reign, if you will. Maybe a month, 2 months, maybe even till SummerSlam, I think. I'll tell you what. If AJ held the belt till SummerSlam and lost it again to Reigns, I wouldn't mind it. You know, I think he's just been such a good opponent for him that I think they could build something off it. But is it too much wishful thinking, Jonathan? Do you think we're getting our hopes up too much, the chance of AJ Styles possibly winning it? I mean, granted, he hasn't been a WWE guy. He just debuted at the Royal Rumble. He hasn't even been in the WWE for a full year. I don't know. Do you think Vince is like, yeah, I'm going to give it to him? I don't know.
I don't know. I think that it could definitely happen. Never say never, as we all say. But I think that, you know, they want the best of the best in the WWE. And I know that everybody wants to say that Vince has, you know, buried people from other companies or whatever. But the fact that they're even there to begin with means that he knows what good business is. So having AJ Styles, who I'm sure is breaking records with merchandising and everything else, having him as a champion is not a bad thing. And I think that they probably see that, and they probably are making plans at some point to at least have him be the champion. Whether it's this Sunday or not, that's definitely something that I would hope for, but that may not happen.
Definitely. And Jonathan, you know, we're only two pay-per-views or WWE specials, do they even call them pay-per-views anymore, out from WrestleMania this year. And these two pay-per-views, from Payback to Extreme Rules, I think, are already better booked than what we got at Mania. And I guess it is a new era, Jonathan. We're definitely getting a lot more exciting matches. We've got a lot of new guys on the roster, guys and girls. It's definitely interesting, and I think it's definitely a fun time right now in the land of WWE, to where anything can happen and will happen. And hey, I think everybody's interests are striked up. It's exciting, Jonathan. You know, I think if you talked to us last year, it was more predictable. Like, oh, of course this is going to happen, this is going to happen. But now it's not that way anymore. So anything could happen this weekend. And I think that's the best part about being a wrestling fan, is that that's the kind of stuff that you want. You know what I mean? You want that anything could happen feeling. You don't want to be like, oh, just going to give it to Reigns. Oh, they're just going to give it to her. You know what I mean? Like, you want the, well, I guess he could win it, but could this guy show up, or could this happen? There's so many what ifs that I think it just makes that right there, this pay-per-view, even more special, the what ifs about it. So I'm excited.
Well, what do you guys want to see at Extreme Rules? You know, we are very social here at Another Wrestling Podcast. You can follow us on Twitter. You can like us on Facebook. You can follow us on Instagram. Let us know your thoughts on this Extreme Rules. Who you want to see win? Who do you want to see lose? Any special moments or surprises that you're looking forward to? Let us know. We also have a hotline, Steve. I don't know if you know that or not. You can call us anytime, day or night, on our hotline. Another Wrestling Podcast, very own hotline. Tell us what you think. Tell us what you hate. Tell us what you like. Tell us anything that you want, and we will play the best calls on air. That number is 802-297-7672. Once again, that is 802-AWP-7672.
Well, that's the show. We want to thank you all for listening today.
Every week we do this show free of charge for you, the fans.
And if you're wondering how to repay us, we have just the thing.
Subscribe to us on iTunes.
Hey, and while you're there, be sure to rate us and give us a good review.
If you're looking for more information about AWP, then head on over to anotherwrestlingpodcast.com.
We are all over social media, and you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and more.
If you are an AWP superfan, you can also show your support by going over to prowrestlingtees.com/anotherwrestlingpodcast and buying one of our official AWP shirts.
We couldn't do this show without you, so tune in next week for
Another Wrestling Podcast.